We're going to continue, at least for this week, this same format about let God be true, let the Bible speak. And so tonight, we're going to let the Bible speak about salvation. Look at that text in Luke chapter 18. Jesus said, how hard it is for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this young man went away sorrowfully. And these disciples says, if the rich cannot be saved, who can be saved? Where did that idea come from? That the rich have an easier way into the kingdom of heaven than anybody else. Where did that come from? Did that come out of the Bible? No. It came out of the imagination of men, teachers, individuals that might have taught them. It may have come out of the culture, whatever it was. They'd already figured out. The people who are going to go to heaven above every other people are the rich. And so I want us tonight to take this same format and to look at the doctrines of men in contrast to the doctrines from God. On the right-hand side of the screen, you'll be able to see some of the doctrines of men. Then we'll take the left-hand side of the screen and look at, we add one other sentence to this on the left-hand side, and that is, let God be true and every man a liar. Who's going to be saved? Well, it's obvious there are many ideas that individuals have. The disciples said, well, only the rich are going to be saved. They had it all figured out, and they were wrong. Now, it's not only those who think only the rich. You can fill in the blank in that next one. Only the what can be saved. You see, everybody has an idea about who's going to be saved. Who is that individual to be saved? And so this list that we're putting here on the right side of the screen is not exhaustive. I want you to understand that. And so early in this lesson, I want you to understand that we may have an idea about who is the individual that's going to be saved, but here's the whole emphasis. What does God say about it? Let God be true and every man a liar. And then there are those who, well, I'll tell you, the only folks that are going to be saved are saints, you know, like Mother Teresa. You understand? Why, if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to pray 24 hours a day. You've got to just give everything away that you have. You have got to become, and I put that in quotation marks, you've got to become a Mother Teresa. I'll guarantee you who's going to go to heaven. It's everybody on this earth who sacrificially lives like Mother Teresa. And that's one of the ideas. And some individuals say, well, I'll never be a Mother Teresa, therefore I cannot be saved. Why? Well, because they've heard you're going to have to be saved like Mother Teresa that way. What about those who are predestined? What about the elect? You know, Calvinism, at least at one time, had the idea that the number that was set who was going to go to heaven was so fixed it could not be diminished by one or increased by one. They were predestined, and there was nothing that an individual could do in order to be saved. God knew before the world was created who was going to be saved, who was going to be lost, and leave human will out of it. God is going to take those individuals to heaven, only those who are the elect. And then there's this commonly given answer, and that is, only those who say the sinner's prayer. Anyone that will say this sentence prayer, not found in the Bible, written by some man, but if you want to be saved, repeat these words after me, and then they tell you the words that you need to say, and then you'll be saved. That's who's going to go, who's be saved. All you got to do is just say this prayer, not written by God, written by some man, and that's who is going to be saved. What about those individuals that do miracles and do mighty works? They're the ones that are going to be saved. And there's that concept that it's only those individuals who are doing the mighty works, and we put that in quotation marks, doing miracles, put that in quotation marks, they're the only ones that's going to be saved. If you can't do a miracle, the Holy Spirit cannot work through you to do a miracle, and if He will not empower you to do great things for the Lord, you'll never ever be saved. And the last one is representative, I think, of a whole lot of others, and that is my godly grandmother. If my godly grandmother's not in heaven, nobody's going to be in heaven. What's happened? Somebody says, I have decided that this is what you must do in order to be saved. In my own imagination, I've got it all figured out, and this is the way that it is. Now, you can quickly look at some of these, and we'll go back and look at them. Look at the one, only the rich. Does the Bible say anything? Does God say anything about only the rich will be saved? Listen to James chapter 2 and verse 5. Let God speak about this. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those that love Him? Does that show and contrast the difference in the doctrine that says that the apostles had and the response was whenever they met that rich young man, only the rich can be saved? Jesus said, God has chosen the poor of this world. Oh, they're rich in faith, but they're not rich, they are poor. Let God be true. The idea that only the rich can be saved, that's not biblical. How do you know it? God says it. God has chosen those who are poor in this world. What about only the, and then you fill in the blank with whatever idea you may have. Listen to Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. And you could have put this verse here up here for every one of these. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4 talks about mankind being the servant of Jesus and said, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. I want you to understand, who made you the judge? Who gave you the right to arbitrarily, on your own, decide who's going to be saved? That individual is a servant of Jesus, and he'll answer to Jesus. Who are you to judge another man's servant? And yet, whenever we fill in the blank with whatever qualifications we want to put in there, then we have violated the whole principle we're trying to make in this, and that is, let God be the judge. Let us be the servant, and let us ask God, who then can be saved? What about Mother Teresa? Well, listen to these words. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you to hear that. One is not saved because they're more righteous and do more good works than anybody else on this earth. You got to understand that. By grace, you've been saved, and it is not of works. We're not saved on the basis of the fact, well, you remember the Pharisee in the temple that said to God, I fast twice in the week, and I give alms of everything that I have, and I thank you, God, that I'm not like this publican that is over here. You need to understand that it is not by what we have done that we're saved. It's a matter of grace, and it is a matter of mercy, and it is our response to that grace and mercy. What about those who are predestined? They're the only ones that are going to be saved. Let God be true. The last page of the Bible has these words on it. And the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let those who thirst come, whoever desires, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. I'm telling you, the doctrine that number is so fixed that it cannot be changed upwards or downwards by even one violates a plain statement of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. What about that individual who says the sinner's prayer? Everybody who calls on the Lord is going to be saved. That's the idea. If I'll just call on Jesus, I will be saved. You want to hear what God says it? Look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The doctrine is everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to be saved. Jesus says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. How could the Bible be more emphatic than to say there are those who call on the Lord who will not be saved, because the rest of the verse talks about obedience to Jesus. Salvation is not just by a word that you say and call on the Lord. It is by a life that you live and a heart that is penitent before God and bows to do the will of God. What about those who do miracles and mighty works? Look at the next two verses in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, got the wrong verse here. Let me put verse 22 and verse 23. Should have been here. I don't know where they went. Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. Are they up here on the screen? Okay, it's not in my notes. In that day, some will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out demons? And Lord, have we not in mighty works done all these mighty works in your name? And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. The doctrine that answers the question, who then can be saved? It's those who say that they're casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Jesus says there will be many on that day who will say, Lord, who will say, Lord, we've done all of these things. And Jesus said, I do not know you now, and I have never known you. That is not what determines whether you'll be saved. That's why verse 21, the verse right before this, says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of my Father. And now let's get back to that godly grandmother, and that is, who are you to judge another man's servant? Sometimes you run into this when you're trying to get an individual to give their lives to Jesus. Well, I know that this is what I must do to be saved, but if I do that, then that means my granny is gone to hell. And I understand the compassion and an understanding. But if your granny was as godly as you say she is, and she knew what you have learned, what would your granny do? And so for you to say, well, I'm not going to believe what God says, though this is obvious what God says, you know, that is just not the way that it is going to be. And so the statement says, again, Romans 14 and verse 4, let God judge that. He is the one who determines the terms of forgiveness. Now then, let's look at this question very quickly, and that is, let God be true, and let's see if we can approach it from another way. Not just these verses, but can we approach it from another way by looking at the concept of an if and then statement. Parents say to your child, if you will do this, I will. If, then. If you don't do this, then I will. Everybody understands the concept of an if and then statement because the if describes a condition. If you will do this, then there is that which follows, and it describes what will happen. I hope you understand this principle. You know, if what we want to do is to find the then statement about who will be saved. Let's start with the then. He shall be saved. What is the if that is in front of it? If and then. The second part is, if, we'll talk about the first part, then you will be saved. Let God be true. Don't determine it by riches. Don't determine it by good works. Don't determine it by holiness and devotion. Don't determine it by casting out of demons. Don't determine it by any other standard than letting God speak. Let's look at some verses that have this and answers the question for us, who then can be saved? That's what it's all about. Let's take this if-then approach and look and ask the question, who can be saved? Look in John chapter 8 and verse 24. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if, there's our word, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That is the negative approach to answering the question, who's going to be saved? When the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, the very quoting of that verse is an indication, well, if you believe the Lord, you must believe that He is and that He rewards those who seek Him. That's an if and then, but it's not in an if and then format. But here's a verse that is. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you're going to die in your sins. Who's going to be saved? That individual who believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Is that all he must do? Look at a second if and then. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. If you do not repent, you will perish. That's God, in a negative way, giving the positive affirmation that if you will repent, you will be saved. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a decision in your heart that you're going to do what God says. Who then can be saved? If you believe, if you repent, is that all? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We've quoted two verses. If you believe, if you repent, is there more? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If and then. If you will speak and affirm that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you will be saved. Who's going to be saved? If you believe, if you repent, if you will confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Now look at the last point that we're going to make in this part of the lesson, and that is, what about baptism? Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 16. And do not, though the word if is not found in this verse, listen carefully, for if it is implied in this verse, then it is found in this verse by implication. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Does not that imply if you believe and you are baptized, you will be saved? Let me ask the question and to emphasize it in another way. Who is the one that shall be saved? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now the Bible shows on the day the very church began that those who did these very things, they were believed in Jesus, they repented, and they were baptized, and the Lord added that day 3,000 unto them, and he kept adding people the next day and the next day. And you get to verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, and the Lord was adding to the church daily those that were being saved. If you will believe, if you will repent, make up your mind, if you will confess that your faith is in Jesus, and if you will be baptized, like the Bible says, calling on God to save you, he'll wash you in the blood of Jesus. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. If you'll do that, he will add you to his glorious church, that one that started on Pentecost, and you become a part of God's eternal purpose. We're about to sing an invitation song in just a moment. And if you need to be baptized, you could do it this very night. All you got to do, I know you believe. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe. Make up your mind. This is the night I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. The water is here. Clothing is here. There's not any reason to walk out of this building lost tonight if you want to be saved. If you believe. If you will repent, if you will confess, if you will be baptized. And that's not some doctrine that originates in the Church of Christ. That is a doctrine that's found in the Bible and emphatically affirmed by if and then statements. There's the if. What's the then? If you're lost, then won't you be saved tonight? Let us know how we can help you. If you're an unfaithful Christian, there's an if and then statement to you. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's an if and then. If you are faithful, steadfast, I will give you the crown of life. Let us know how we can help you go to heaven by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?